This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it is Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I wanted to congratulate you for surviving to the end of the week. And we have so much to talk about tonight. The greatest week of questions maybe that we've ever had. I'm going to go ahead and do a clean sweep right off the bat because you have all kinds of Iran-Israel questions. I'm knocking those out right away so I don't have to discuss the whole thing again because I'm pretty sure we're about to bomb them this weekend. After we move on from that, Barack Obama's talking about censorship. We'll discuss that in Chernobyl. Could the South have won the Civil War? Does the country itself have Democrat fatigue? Why didn't I re-enlist in the Marine Corps? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. So let's knock this out of the way. I'm going to try to get this done in one segment, maybe it'll take me two or three, but I'm going to get all the Israel-Iran stuff out of the way. As you know, I don't love talking foreign policy, but Ask Dr. Jesse Friday is about you and not me, and the questions about Israel, Iran, different kinds of questions, they came flooding in enough that I know I need to address it, and so I am going to address it. First, there's a lot of reporting. This is not my reporting. These are not my sources, but there is a lot of reporting out there that it will kick off this weekend. It being America dropping bombs. We've watched Israel missiles, bombs, flying all these sorties. Apparently, America is getting ready to get in the game. It's hard to listen to this and not assume that that's correct. This is Dorothy Camille Shea. You probably don't know who that is, and it's not important. But what is important is her role. Her role is, she is currently America's ambassador to the United Nations. So because she's our ambassador, when she speaks, she needs Trump's permission to speak. She doesn't just get to run to the cameras and spout off with whatever she wants. And when she's addressing the UN, when she is speaking, it is Trump's voice speaking. Why would you go before the UN and say this?
We can no longer ignore that Iran has all that it needs to achieve a nuclear weapon. All it needs is a decision from their supreme leader. That is unacceptable, and this council must urge them to change course.
That is preemptively justifying what you're getting ready to do. I personally believe the intelligence that the bombs will be dropping shortly. Look, they might be dropping as we speak, but this weekend at some point in time. Knowing that, let's tackle your questions and tackle your fears and deal with all the other things that are going to come with America dropping bombs on another Middle Eastern country, and we don't know where we're going from here. So here we go. Jesse, how are the missiles penetrating the Iron Dome that protects Israel and severely damaging Tel Aviv? Can you explain this tonight on your show? Okay, so let's discuss the Iron Dome system and warfare in general and things like that. Israel has what is obviously known as the Iron Dome. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. You've heard of it. What is it, though? There are, especially in the metropolitan areas of Israel, there is a missile defense system. In fact, you can look at them online where a lot of them are. They're in town. Like, you know how you ever driven through New York City and you'll see an outdoor basketball court just randomly, just boom, there's a block of it. That same thing will happen in Israel, in Tel Aviv. There is a missile defense system. It is super advanced and it is designed to detect and shoot down incoming rockets, incoming enemy missiles. Okay? It is really, really impressive. But a couple things. That wonderful saying that I love so much, quantity has a quality all its own. That's a Napoleon quote. No missile defense system, none of them catch everything. It's just not possible. It's not real. It's not reality. So what percentage? Well, that's another thing. The missiles that the Iron Dome shoots up to take out their missiles are uber expensive, majorly expensive, and they're not unlimited. It is common when we think about modern warfare, especially when we even think about America or a modern country like Israel, it's common to look at the fighter jets and think, wow, they must have 10,000. It's common to look at the missiles. Wow, they shot 1,000 missiles. I'm sure that's unlimited. That is not the case. Supplies in warfare now and always are finite. So initially, the Iron Dome caught a higher percentage than it's catching now. The reports are that number has gone down. It's not catching as many. There are more missiles landing. Is that a trend or is that a one-off? I don't know. But keep this in mind as we embark, allegedly, on this Israel-Iran thing. Iran is much, much larger than Israel. 10 times the population. No, they don't have near the military capability. They're not technologically as advanced. Israel's just much smarter, much sharper, much better troops, better training, better. There's no denying that. No denying that. But quantity has a quality all its own. How many missiles does Iran have? Yes, they're less accurate. We've already discussed that. They don't have the intelligence capability to drop a missile in a coffee can the way Israel does, the way we do. But what if you have thousands of them? What I'm saying is initially we watched Israel very sharply, one of the great intelligence operations I've seen in my life, locate and wipe out all the military leadership of Iran. It was amazing. It was a total scene out of The Godfather at the end where he just wipes out all of his enemies in one day. He took out all the heads of the family in one moment. It was amazing military intelligence operation. And what that's going to do is that is going to severely wound and slow down your enemy. So if you're in the Iranian military, if you're trying to defend Iran, who's even in charge of what? This guy was here, but now he's dead. So it's bad, really, really bad. However, things don't last forever, okay? In a country of 90 million people with a military that size, they are going to get back on their feet unless the Ayatollah surrenders or dies and they just agree to have a brand new government installed for them. This is not me saying that Israel's going to lose or America is going to lose or something like that. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying beware of the easy early days of war. Be very, very aware of those. You know, Iraq, when we invaded in Iraq, yes, we lost some lives and I lost friends, and that's the way it goes. But militarily, if you're looking at that in a sober way, the actual defeat and destruction of Saddam Hussein and his army in Iraq was pretty easy for America. We just pounded the living crap out of those guys. Artillery, planes, we just crushed them. And we were, look, what was it, 3 weeks we declared war or declared victory? 3-4 weeks declared victory? How much longer were we there? How many people died after that? This is just me saying, be cautious. Be cautious. Cheer when you see things you like. Pray when you see things you don't. But beware of early successes and being convinced that those early successes would last forever, because every single army in the history of the world has learned that lesson, and they've often learned that lesson hard. Oh, look, we got them. We beat them in this battle. We're getting them. They suck. We win. Oh, my gosh, there's a lot of them. That has happened many times in history, all right? Look, there are going to be Israeli casualties. I want you to know that. There are going to be Israelis who die in this war. There will be. Don't think that you're dealing with some completely third world dump in Africa somewhere where they're still shooting, you know, slingshots and muskets, there are enough Iranians, they're going to kill some Israelis along the way. Every headline isn't going to be something you cheer about. There's going to be a pilot that gets shot down. I mean, God forbid, but there's going to be an American, probably, if we kick this thing off. Potentially an American who goes down. That's what happens when human beings start shooting weapons at each other. People die. All right, I'll try to knock out the rest of your questions on all this, then we're moving on. We have to make fun of Democrats being theater kids. Anyway, hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Just warning you right now, I'm trying to knock out all your Israel-Iran questions right off the bat so I can move on and talk about other stuff, but I know you have questions. I know what's on your mind, and the show on Friday belongs to you, so that's what we're doing. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are live here. Let's do another one. Jesse, I know you're tired of talking about the war in the Middle East, but one quick question. Israel claims to have total air dominance, so what would be the benefit for us to get involved? Doesn't it make more sense that the president is sending carriers and planes as a preventative measure to stop so on and so forth? Scary times, brother. Let's all pray for peace. Quick resolution. All right. Why would it make sense for us to get involved? Special forces. You a special forces fan? Green Berets. You know, Navy SEALs, there'll be special operations. But let's talk about Green Berets. You a big fan? Cool, right? What's cooler than that? Super trained, these super tough guys, you know, snipers, all kinds of cool stuff. Who doesn't love that stuff? Everybody loves that stuff, admires that stuff. And they can do a lot of things. Of course, they're very, very unbelievably capable because they're so well-trained, because they're so sharp, because they're so this. But what true good are they without a massive military force behind them? You know why? It's like 600 of them. Now, yes, that's 600 super studs. Who are the 600 Rambos, right? 600 super studs. Yes, they're great. But, well, I'll tell you what. I'll use this as an example. My Alexander the Great history story, history show, which I'm glad that you love so much. You can go download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes if you missed it. But we did an Alexander the Great story on the Siege of Tyre. Alexander the Great had this unit that he was in love with. He just thought they were his special forces guys. He was always fighting with them. He was on the ground alongside them. They were these kind of javelin men. I won't go into the details of them, but they were awesome. They were studs. They breached the wall first when they were in Tyre, when they were sieging Tyre. But there weren't that many of them. Yes, they were super tough, and they were beating the people in front of them, but they needed the massive Macedonian army to also breach to handle the brunt of the work. The tip of the spear is majorly, majorly sharp, but it's still just the tip. Without that massive Macedonian army behind them, tough as they may be, they will be surrounded and slaughtered and gone. Think about the Israel-American military might in exactly that way. If you've been following this, and you've been watching Israel beat the living crap out of Iran, you may be tempted to say, well, why do they even need us? Why would we even get involved? Yes, Israel's military and intelligence, super sharp, super capable. It's nothing compared to the size and strength of ours. Taking out an Iranian general in his apartment because you can land a missile in his coffee cup is one thing. Having enough firepower to blow up an underground facility that is specifically built to not be blown up by bombs from the air is a whole other ballgame. Remember this. Israel's forces are limited by simple size. Quantity has a quality all its own. The entire freaking country is 8 million people. The entire country of Israel is New York City. The entire country. They are a cutting-edge military. They are small. It is small. They are taking on a country of 90 million people. So, total air dominance, also, keep this in mind. Total air dominance can mean different things. Total air dominance can mean you don't have jets in the sky. All right, so that's good. That's good. Your jets have taken out all their jets, or in the very least, their jets are so old, so incapable now that they won't even fly them in the air because you'll take them out. That counts as total air dominance. But I can own the air above the ground and still not be able, not have the total capability to take out everything on the ground that I want. Just because you can't send jets up and take me out, yes, I have air dominance, but maybe I don't have everything I need to take out all the things underneath me. Does that make sense? Good. Jesse, now that we've established that I'm naive in thinking we could help Israel by flying a handful of ordnance missions, I don't know that we established that, since it won't stop there, what would victory look like if we worked side by side with Israel? Nation building has never worked, and usually regime change brings in something even worse. What are the Oracle's thoughts? Okay, so let's touch on this, because I touched on it a bit yesterday, and I've been asking this question, two questions really, and we know from reporting that came out today, these exact same questions are still being asked at the highest levels. Allegedly, now this is allegedly because we just have, you know, single sources on these things. Allegedly, J.D. Vance flat out had it out with the Israelis about, well, who's going to replace the current government? What do we want in place of the current government? So let's discuss that. Before we discuss that, let's talk about getting rid of your pain, the physical pain that wears you down. What is holding you back from doing things you used to do? You used to go for walks, maybe hikes in the mountains, swimming, golf, running, but you can't now because your hand hurts, because your foot hurts. Your back hurts. What about your neck? Does your neck bother you? Man, I've seen people, I know people who have neck problems. It's freaking awful. Isn't $19.95, isn't that worth a try? That's what Relief Factor is. 3 weeks of it is $19.95. It is not pain medication. It is a 100% drug-free supplement that goes after the root of your pain, that inflammation. Let's say it doesn't work. What are you out? $19.95. But what if it does work? You might be 3 weeks away from being pain-free. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Remember, if you've missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So let's discuss the Israel-Iran post-war thing. I put it out yesterday, said it multiple times, and these discussions are being had at the highest levels as we speak. Okay, taking out Iran is great. Sounds good. Right? It sounds awesome. Taking out the Ayatollahs, it's this big evil regime, death to Israel, death to America, sponsored all this terrorism, bad guys, bad guys, bad guys all around. 100% agree. But I asked, if we're replacing the government, and that is the stated goal, so don't email me your lies and propaganda, the stated goal by American politicians and Israel politicians is replacement of the mullahs, getting rid of their current government. So regime change is the goal. What are you replacing it with? And just as importantly, who is facilitating this change? And people try to answer questions. They tried to answer those questions with me all day long, and the emails reflected this too, with answers that weren't answers at all. Whoever the Iranian people choose, that's up to the Iranian people. Are you in daycare? Do you still read nursery rhymes? What kind of an insane childish worldview is that? It's up to the Iranian people. You don't just get to dump a government and then go to the people and say, all right, up to you, pick yours now. And they'll just swap it out like Leonardo DiCaprio in a new supermodel. That's not how life works at all. If you are going to remove the current government of any sovereign country, what has doomed us time and time and time and time and time and time again is there's no plan to replace it. No realistic plan, no ability to facilitate that change. These are really important questions. You have to think past step one. Well, I don't like Iran. Good, neither do I. The Ayatollah is evil. Yep, totally agree. Murderous piece of trash. Yep, I hate his guts. I want him removed. Sounds good. Who are you replacing him with? Oh, I don't know. That's a really important question. Majorly important. Let me put it to you this way. Do you remember ISIS? Obviously, everyone remembers ISIS. Chris and I have discussed this multiple times. Are they the most evil people who ever walked the planet? Possibly. When you look at the things they did to babies, awful. Things that honestly, I'm not sure a Nazi would do. That's the stuff ISIS did. They didn't get the power of the Nazis, so they won't ever get that historical pub, but possibly the most evil people who ever lived. Why did ISIS rise? When they rose? Power vacuum. Okay, let's say we get rid of the Ayatollahs. And I think their days are numbered. That very clearly is where we're going. We get rid of the current government of Iran. Sounds wonderful. Who will rise? I'm not saying it will be ISIS, because it won't be. They just don't have that kind of a foothold there. But what if an ISIS-like group? What if, walk with me here, Iran has a military, right? Of course they do. They have an air force, ground troops, all that stuff. What about their generals? What do they believe? Are there going to be some moderate generals in there who think all this death to Israel stuff is ridiculous? Let's just get back to being a normal country. Let's make some oil, pave some roads. Of course there are going to be some of those. Are there going to be some hardcore, hardliner generals in there who go to sleep every single night dreaming of slaughtering Americans and Jews? Yep. Which one of those guys is going to win afterwards? Do you think they're just going to turn over all that weaponry and equipment over to the Israelis? to America? What if one of those guys comes out on top? What if the next Iranian government is way worse than this one? People don't consider that to be a possibility, yet same thing happened in Libya. Same thing happened in Afghanistan. Same thing happened in Iraq. Same thing happened over and over and over and over and over again. Good point. Syria. What a wonderful, booming metropolis Syria is nowadays. Over and over and over again. These questions, it's not that there aren't answers. Maybe there are great answers. Maybe there is a great plan. But as of right now, I hear vagaries, and vagaries don't govern a country of 90 million people. If you are going to break it, you are on some level going to buy it. And if American bombs are going to be dropping on Iran, and they may be dropping as we speak, I believe it will come this weekend anyway. If American bombs are going to be dropping on Iran and we are going to remove the current Iranian government, then we are going to, in some ways, own what comes afterwards. In fact, it's not even realistic to think Israel could manage a country of 90 million people after they manage their own. And nobody on the planet is going to allow Iran, with its size and resources, to become an Israeli puppet state after Israel bombed. They're just not going to allow that. It just would never happen. The world would step in and say, no, you don't just get to conquer it. So what is the plan? Nobody can give me solid answers. I haven't seen solid answers. I get vagaries. I get told how bad the Ayatollah is. I know all that. I totally agree. Hate his freaking guts. Screw him. There are a lot of people I hate. Be careful with what comes afterwards. You're not naive. The guy called himself naive for thinking that we can just drop a couple bombs and walk away. It's not that you're naive. It's that human beings understandably get emotional when they are faced with the prospect of taking out a bad guy. Taking out a bad guy always sounds good, doesn't it? It's part of the human condition, especially as dudes. I read this book one time. Great book. What was it? Wild at Heart was the name of the book. Wild at Heart was the name of the book. One more time so you don't email me asking. Wild at Heart was the name of the book. And the guy said something to the effect of, it's been years since I read the book. He said something to the effect of, every man is born with this instinct to love a good woman and kill a bad man. It's just in our bones. So when we see an evil regime potentially getting taken out, our natural inclination is, yeah, get him! Woo! Bomb him! But we must think about what comes after. And look at the, okay, let's look at historically what have been successful regime changes. Japan would be a great example. Post-World War II, great example. They had this emperor, this really weird militaristic system that had created all this death and misery. But how did we achieve what we achieved? How did we take out that emperor and replace them? Well, we had to move in and essentially run all of Japan. We moved in, the United States of America. We essentially became their temporary government and completely owned and rebuilt the country as we slowly but surely put into place everything we wanted. Is that what we're doing in Iran? Can we do that? Can Israel do that? I don't think so. I don't think they're big enough. These are important questions. All right, I'm going to knock out two more of these, and I'm going to try to take 2 minutes on it. I'm going to knock out two more of these, and I'm walking away from this topic, and I'm not looking back on a Friday. I have a very, very strong suspicion that Monday is going to have to be all about this, and I'm just cringing thinking about it. So you're getting the last two questions. I've answered as many of these. I know you emailed in a ton, trying to knock out ones that kind of encompassed everyone's question, and then we are walking away to tackle other things going on in the world. Barack Obama spoke, and I want to get to that. Also, I think it's really important if we want to know what the future is going to look like, to look back. Look at history. Look at the historical stories of how this has gone, how that's gone. American history. Rise and fall of the Roman Republic. You know, things that Hillsdale College will teach you for free. This weekend, when you're sitting around the house, flipping through the channels, don't know what to do, you're on YouTube. Why don't you take one free class from Hillsdale. It's free. There's no cost. More than 40 online courses for free. You want to learn more? All those amazing stories in the book of Genesis, you want more stories around those? Understand it better? He'll still do that. Roman Republic, the Constitution, capitalism, Athens, Greece. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. There's no cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We'll get to what Barack Obama said. We'll get to some guy texted a girl and she hasn't texted him back. Could the South have won the Civil War? Democrat fatigue. There's all that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And we have to make fun of singing Democrats. That's going to be so much fun. So let's go ahead and knock out the very last of this Israel-Iran stuff. And I'm not bringing it up for the rest of the show. Last one. Well, second to last one. Jesse, what happened to Iran's army? Did they all desert? We don't know yet. It's all been airstrikes. Airstrikes and boots on the ground are two different things. I'm sure some will desert. I'm sure some will stay and fight. That's how it goes. We don't know. There's a ton we don't know yet. Jesse, longtime listener, I wanted to get your take on something that's been stirring a bit lately. Trump going after Tucker Carlson on his non-interventionist stance on Iran. I know you've been clear about your own foreign policy views. I'm curious where you land on this particular clash. Do you think Trump is right calling out Tucker, or is it just another sign of the old GOP hawk mindset still lingers? His name is Thomas. Well, Donald Trump is the largest, most powerful voice on the right, and he has been for 10 years. He has more sway with the right than any other human being on the planet. Even when Rush Limbaugh was alive, Donald Trump probably had more sway with more people on the right than even Rush Limbaugh did. That's how powerful it is. You would probably say that Tucker Carlson is second. If you had to grade him, I would say probably second. If not, he's definitely top five. He's up there. And those two, they really got together for the election. Tucker really backed him. Trump really appreciated it. They were hanging out. They were texting. They were pictured together. There were all this and that. But they are really crossways on this particular issue. And it was always going to go this way. It was always going to go this way between, I've said before, type A men can work with other type A men occasionally and temporarily, but they will never be able to work with each other long term. I have never seen this work once in my entire lifetime. Men who are used to leading and being the most prominent voice in the room do not generally work well with other men who are that way. Now, to men who aren't very type A, and that's fine if you're not, by the way, you are how God made you. They don't understand that. Women oftentimes don't understand that. It just looks like pride and ego and all this other stuff. I get how ridiculous it looks from the outside looking in. But that's how it always goes. Me personally, I wish that stuff didn't play out publicly, as I've said many times before. But that is how that stuff is always going to go. That is the last of my Israel-Iran talk. I'm worn out. I don't want to talk about the Middle East anymore. I want to talk about America. I want to make fun of Democrats. I want to talk about a theory that's been thrown around a lot, not by me, but I don't know that I'm not buying into it. I'll put it to you this way. The theory is theater kids. We all know theater kids. We knew them in high school. Everybody knew the theater kids. Maybe you were. Maybe you are a theater kid. And there's nothing wrong with being a theater kid. We need the arts. We do. That stuff is important. It is important for a society, for a culture. I'm personally not artistic, so I can't contribute. I can't help you. I can't sing or dance or play an instrument, any of those things. I'm a Kelly. All I can do is eat, right? So I'm not putting down the profession itself. But they are different, aren't they? Ever known a theater kid? Very, I hate to even say this, very theatrical. Everything has to be this dramatic thing. And everything is a performance. It's who they are. I've known many talk radio guys who do talk radio. I've gotten to know them over the years of doing it. And one thing that kills me about so many of them, I would say it's the majority of them, is when we're hanging out, even if it's just us or we go out and we have steak, they're always still like talking like they're on the radio. It's a lot. Theater kids are the exact same way. Everything has to be an overdramatic performance. The theory is that the Democrat Party over the years has been taken over by theater kids. And part of the theory is we stopped allowing bullying in school. And what happened was the theater kids who were always on the receiving end of said bullying, they ended up conquering everything. And now they run the Democrat Party. Kind of a ridiculous online theory, right? Yeah, this is Hank Johnson from Today.
Hey, Trump. Where you going with that gun in your hand?
Chris is right. This is the guy at the party who pulls the guitar out. This is him. He just got done smoking pot. His hair's long, and everyone's like, wait, what?
Down the street, shoot down democracy. You know I want to be a king someday.
In case you're wondering, yes, that is the very same Hank Johnson from this infamous clip.
This is an island that at its widest level is, 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level, location,
gosh,
it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
That's same Hank Johnson. But back to the theater kids thing. Remember Francis Collins?
We're joined together by this noble dream. Have you got that? So it's just all the good people, but the second line, part of this family, and the last line, we're joined together by this noble dream. Do that with me. This is a song for all the good people. Come on. All the good people who are part.
They are. They're the theater kids.
We will overcome someday.
I think the theory is solid. Anyway, stop. Quit. I'm crying. We have to talk about Barack Obama. We have to talk about censorship is what we have to talk about first. Well, wait a minute. We're going to do that while we talk about Barack Obama. I'll kill two birds with one stone. I can do that. It's a Friday. I first want to talk to you about having a dirtball employee. Let's say you have somebody who works for you and makes your life harder. He makes your life worse. We'll call him Chris, just as a placeholder. You know there's something better out there, right? They're waiting for you right now. As you listen to the sound of my voice, that next employee's waiting for you at ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers get a quality candidate the first day. It's not like you need to post your job and then just sit around checking your phone notifications for 3 months hoping for a hit. The first day, go. Embrace ZipRecruiter. Your next choice employee is right there. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Don't make the mistakes I've made. Don't hire people who hold you back. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.